Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM, powered by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC. Today is Saturday, 21st of June 2025, corresponding to the 25th of Dhul Hijjah, 1446 AH. It is the last Saturday and last weekend of the Hijra year 1446 AH, and we are just days away from the new Islamic year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives till then and beyond. On Everyday Muslim Show, we try as much as possible to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Today, inshallah, we shall be taking a cursory look at one very, very important but often misconstrued concept, and that is the understanding qadar, that is destiny, finding peace in Allah's plan, inshallah. And to take us through this is our father, our revered scholar of Islam, Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, for some of us, Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is a household name, a well-known name. Yorubas will say Oduni won won shy mofoloko. So he's reputable and very, very popular within the Islamic fold. But it's possible that some of us are listening to the program and just been meeting him for the first time. Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is a Muslim cleric. He's an imam in Adangba Central Mosque in Idimu Alimosho Lekoko government area of Lagos State. He's a married counselor and a public analyst on television and radio. He's a publicity ambassador with HWPL, which stands for Heavenly World Propagation of Light, headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is a teacher, father, husband, mentor, and many more. He is the founder of an Islamic institute at Idimu in Lagos State, where Quran and Islamic legislation is taught in its comprehensive form, just to mention a few of who Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is. So you are very much welcome again to the program, Ya Sheikh.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, everybody.
All right. So this program is streaming live on Facebook via Everyday Muslim page on Facebook. You can log in into Facebook to view the studio and to also send in your comments on the live feeds on Facebook. Again, the page is Everyday Muslim on Facebook. Simultaneously, the program is also streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio YouTube page. So you can also go in there just to view the studio to have an idea of who the presenter is, who the revered scholar is, and what exactly is going on in the studio, so you can have a feel. You know, gone were the days where radio is just for you to hear, but now radio, you can hear, you can see what exactly is going on in the studio. So we would like to have your comments. So later on the program, we would open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. So to begin with, Sheikh, we are looking at understanding Qadar, that is destiny. So to begin with, this is a pillar of faith. It is essential, yet often misunderstood by a lot of people. So to begin with, can you help our audience grasp what Qadar truly means in Islamic belief, beyond just the literal meaning or translation as destiny or predestination? So what exactly is Qadar?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We seek refuge from the Almighty Allah against that shaitan that is accursed. And may he not have a space in our lives.
Allahumma ameen.
Our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. You see, what we're about to discuss today may seem confusing, but convincingly, it is the very foundation of what we call Islam, existence, and humanity. When you see Islam, when you see existence, when you see humanity, the very foundation of all is what is called Qadar. When you were talking about it now, you said it is destiny. It is also predestiny. So you are created, you don't know where you're coming from.
Okay.
When you come to this earth, you went through phases and stages for you to be known as who you are. The first stage, you passed through it without a name. If not for the modernization and stylistics in Islam, that is now telling you that we should give the name to the child even before
he's born.
So you go without a name. But even if you had that name and you are being called that name at that point in time, you can't answer. All the vitals in your body, the inner ones are working, the outer ones may be working, but you don't know the use of them. So for you now to question Qadar, then you must be stupid. That is for you to understand there's a foundation where you're coming from. As time goes on, start getting to the use of what you have. You know, the hand is there to pick, you know, the eyes is there to see, the air. But there is a faculty inside you. That faculty is the faculty that mentors, support, connect, and attach.
Okay.
They call it the mental faculty. Where, in a Samoa, the Quran says your eyes, your ears,
Basara,
your ears, Walfuad, your mind will be questioned. So that stage, you must have reached a level of knowledge of your existence. I told you earlier, your existence. So you have reached a level in your existence that you know the right from the wrong. So we'll have gone through phases of training, education, just name it, literacy, everything, morality, modesty, how does it look? So those are the tools to open up the predestined existence of yourself on the surface of the heart, your eyes, your ears, your forehead, your mind, and your thoughts. So then you come to manifestation in what you do, acts of replowing. It's also Qadar. If you go to the Ilm al-Tawheed, where you want to talk about Islam, they'll tell you it has pillars.
Yeah.
Five pillars. But when you come to each of the pillars, they tell you each of those pillars have attributes.
Yes.
Then the soul of all the attributes is submission, which is the real Islam that you are trying to do. But you come to attributes of Iman and you say, who is Allah? Unseen. We did not live during the time of the Prophet.
Sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. But when they tell us now that does Muhammad exist? You have said Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If this has existed, he's still existing.
Okay.
You have to believe in him. They will tell you, ihsan, kindness. You can't pick it.
Yes, it's abstract.
It's abstract, but it's not totally abstract.
Hmm.
It has a beginning and an end, which is the deed and the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So that applies to what you are doing and who you are doing it to. Mm-hmm. So you now think of the karma. Karma too is abstract or sin. Come back again. Talk of the angels. As you're sitting down, you know you have two of them,
mm-hmm.
by your right and by your left. You have those who are in the world. You know of Iblis.
Mm-hmm.
And we all say, hey, it is Shaitan. It is Shaitan that caused it. Shaitan caused it. Yes, where is Shaitan? Every human being is born with his own Shaitan, but you cannot see it.
Mm-hmm.
Islam tells you that you must understand that the world of the unseen is the world of Qadar.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to delve into the real meaning of Qadar, is the unseen to the seen, back to the unseen.
Hmm.
So how do you perfect your being, your humanity,
your existence?
That aspect. That you know, your humanity in existence.
Hmm.
There is existence. Mm-hmm. There is humanity in existence.
Absolutely.
So Allah wants the humanity in existence because the first religion that came to mankind is not Islam, it's not Christianity, it's not any religion you can name, but the religion of creation, which is humanity.
Okay.
So now when Islam came, it came to align you with that same humanity. When other text books came from Allah, the divine books revealed, they came to align the person with humanity. So if it's a general thing, it applies to you, it applies to me. And it says, now the Islam now says, La yu'minu ahadukum, none of you will believe in faith. What is faith? The unseen. What is the unseen? Qadar. Hatta yuhibb al-akhi, until you want for the other person first before you want for yourself.
I hope we are not actually confusing listeners in a way.
That is to show you that if the other person comes first to you, then you come first to the other person, and there will be no evil.
Yeah, so absolutely. All right. So because I'm looking at it now, that trying to relate it with what we can see now, because as much as we understand that Qadar is a bit abstract, and like we talk about destiny and you talked about predestination, it means that our existence is not coincidence and it's not an accident. It is something, it is part of a grand design by a creator. And conforming to this grand design, in a way, is also that we are accepting that, okay, all that is happening has the knowledge of the creator. So it's not, accidental.
Exactly.
All right, good. So, but then, a lot of times we often hear the phrase that it is already written.
Yes.
When people resign themselves to circumstances, especially the ones that they feel probably is beyond their control, say, well, probably it has been written that this thing would happen, that is
indolence.
So how can believers avoid using Qadar as an excuse for passivity or inaction, especially in matters that they have control over, or they have influence, that they can influence? And what balance should we strike between reliance on Allah in such situations and taking responsibility for our actions?
Well, alhamdulillah, you see, as a Muslim, you have submitted.
Mm-hmm.
But you are charged with responsibilities.
Yeah.
So have you performed your responsibilities first?
Okay.
Before you now come to settle for, that is the way Allah wants it.
Mm.
Allah said in the Quran, that if you people strive on our cause, so why do you, as a human being, why do you cook to eat? Let the food come and say it is Qadar.
Okay.
So you have to go through the processing.
Mm.
So after going through the processing, sometimes you go to the kitchen to cook, and when you finish cooking, you see it's not tasting the way you envisaged it.
Mm.
Yet you have a food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either better than the way you envisage it, or a bit below. Sometimes it is accurate.
Okay.
So in Tawheed, in the ilm of Tawheed, in the oneness of God, they divided the desire of Allah into three. Number one, they call it the Tahalluku Tanjizi Al Qadim. Before Allah even created anything, he has had a master plan. So the master plan, he has said the women radio is going to be in Arepo and it's going to be on this land. He has said you are going to be created onto this land, but you have your own duration of time that you will come. So the same you has come in many folds. Come in your father, the great grandfather, the great, great, great. You have come in many times. So we are not saying the incarnation now, but we are saying the times, the number of times that you have passed through a stage to a stage to a stage. So you have to prepare some things. So don't be indolent and say, that's Allah written it. Have you strived? Have you prepared for it? So that's the first one. Allah has planned everything before he created the earth. When he formed the earth, after making the earth and say, okay, this is going to be where I'm going to push all these people, this is where they're going to live. He has earmarked that this is where this is going to be, this is where this is going to be, and the place will be left for that thing. Even if someone bought it at a point in time, it will soon go back to that point in time. That is, now, let's look at it. Whenever you, wherever you find a masjid, wherever you find a masjid, it is from Taluku Tenjizi Al-Qadim. Allah has designed it that this is going to be a masjid. You can buy it and do anything. When it's time for the masjid to grow,
Allah will come back.
Yes, that is Taluku Tenjizi As-Saluhi. Then, when it's now manifested that, okay, the place has been used for a masjid and is continually going to be used for the masjid, then it is Taluku Tenjizi Al-Hadith. At that point in time, when the will of Allah is done, then you may not be able to change it. And that's why Quran told us in Surah Al-Azab, chapter 33, verse 36, that مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِ. If Allah has perfected something, you don't have a choice to say, I want to change it. But before he perfected it, you must have been taken through the rudiments of that perfection. So that at the end of the day, when you now get there, you say, oh, I've been seeing it, oh, I've been seeing it, too. I'm very close to it, too. This is the way it's going to be. Then you must now submit for that will, or else you're not going to have an inner peace.
Okay. So, because I'm trying to look at how we can strike this balance. I know you're just like someone that says, if God destines that I will actually have a child, I will have a child. You actually did not get married. You don't even have a spouse. You don't have, you are not dating anybody. You didn't get married to anybody. You not even search for a spouse. I just believe that if God says I'll get a child, then I'll have a child.
Yeah,
so that has been stupid, right?
Yeah, it's been stupid.
All right, so now I want us to
must go through the
process. You take steps.
That everything that you say, oh, it is Qadar, has a process. Even your existence has a process.
Yes.
So
invariably it means that we should not just resign ourselves to fate, especially on things that we have control over.
Because
I always, just like I tell people, sorry sir,
yeah,
that you do what you can and God does what you can't.
Yes.
So you cannot say that, for instance, as a student, you want to register for an examination or you want to pass an examination. You actually did not even register. You did not obtain the form. You did not read. You did not even prepare anything. You expect that, oh, if God says I'll pass, I'll pass.
God will not say you'll pass. You don't read.
Okay.
If you don't read, you are going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not even prepared for the exams.
Mm-hmm.
So what you prepared for, I've said it earlier, you can get it better, you can get it equal, you can get it lesser.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway it comes, you are prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody that is not prepared, I will take, you took the person through the rudiments. What package share in life, you what you don't have, you don't give.
Okay, all right.
Exactly. So being indolent and lazy is different from you being striving and getting.
Okay.
So, and when you strive and get, be content
with,
because there are three things that are attached to you getting the manifestation.
Okay.
There are three things attached. The first one is that you must have tawakkul.
Reliance.
Tawakkul is reliance on Allah, even when you want to do it. And that will give you the other two.
So you don't believe that it is your effort that can actually make you achieve it?
No. You can only try your effort. For you to get it, Allah did warn the Holy Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam
in Surah Al-Kahf. He said, you cannot say you want to do something tomorrow except
inshallah.
So if you say, that is why you see a Muslim will say inshallah if Allah wills. But when you are certain, you say, okay, this thing has been done by iznillah. That is what he said about Prophet Jesus. He said Jesus will heal the leper. It will and resurrects his dead.
Mm-hmm.
It will do all of that. Mm-hmm. It will even create a bird from a mold.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Be easily
with Allah's permission.
With Allah's permission. So if you don't put that, he said it himself, that with Allah's permission. So that is why, because people do not know the extent of Qadr in the existence of Isa towards humanity, that's why they got confused.
Mm.
So Qadr in Isa is that Allah wanted it before to complete. Somebody without a father and a mother, that is Adam. Somebody with a father who cannot conceive a baby, but no mother, is Hawa. Somebody with a mother who doesn't have a father is Jesus, Isa. And somebody with a father and a mother is you and me. So exactly, Allah just want to perfect the four aspects. So in anything you see in the verses of the Quran, you must look for the four regions. You don't say somebody is wrong until you can peruse the other regions and say, oh, okay, this is where we're going to fix it.
Okay.
So at that point, you are now fixing, and you cannot go out of the four regions. Then you now come back to Qadr. That's the way Allah wanted.
Okay, that's the way Allah wanted. All right, so now, let's go to the aspect of trials, because we know quite well that in life, we experience trials, tribulations, setbacks, unexpected turns. They are all part of life, actually.
Okay.
And so, how can a sound understanding of Qadr help us, as believers, find peace in times of difficulty and guard against falling into despair, blame, or hopelessness that, you don't finish?
You see, in knowledge, you get what? Guidance. I'm not saying illiteracy now.
Okay.
I'm saying in knowledge.
Knowledge.
You get what?
Guidance.
Guidance. What is your model to guidance? Your model to guidance is the practical Quran. What is the practical Quran? Muhammad Rasulullah.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So, the other instrument for you to get guidance is Quran. So, in Quran, Allah made us know in Quran chapter 33 verse 36, I will continue returning us to that verse. It says, "My kana li mu'minin," it's not possible for a mu'min, that is a man who is a Muslim, or mu'mina, or a woman who is a believer, either kana lahu wa rasuluhu, when Allah and his prophet and his messenger decrees something, he doesn't have an option than to follow it. So now, what is the option here? The option here is to find solace in your model. Because when you are in the world, you should look for somebody that will be your model, your mentor, your monitor, your moderator, and at the same time, your multiplier. So if Muhammad is your
sallallahu
model,
sallam.
Did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got it free? He worked for it. So now, he now turned, that will now bring you back to the Quran in Surah Al-Ankabut. He says, Alif Lam Mim,
Ahasiba Nasu an yutraku an yakunu.
Do people think we are going to leave them without trials? Ayakulu amanna, because they said they believe, wa hum la yuftanun, and Allah will not give them tribulations and trials. No. A capital no. He says, wa laqad fatanna allazina min qablikum, we have tried those before them. Wa la ya'lamanna Allahu allazina sadaqu, we want to know those who are truthful,
with their consent and desires.
Wa la ya'lamanna al-kadhibin, and we know those who are just playing with their life and their,
so it becomes a criterion to actually,
it's for you to get peace when after trials, when after giving everything you have, when after looking for help and support, and it still doesn't work, then you go back to Surah At-Tawbah. And Surah At-Tawbah, it says, "Kulla yusibana
illa ma kataba,"
nothing happens to us,
"illa ma kataba Allahu lana,"
except that Allah has predecreed for us, who are Mawlana, because He's our creator. Wa ala lahi, that is the solution now. Wa ala lahi, on Allah, falyatawakkalil mu'minun, anybody who is a true believer will rely at the end of the day. You don't struggle for what you can't get, or else you are going to meet your
Waterloo. Alright, jazakumullah khair. Alright, you know, the world we live in today with the younger generation, it's the Soroski generation, as they are popularly called, and to a large extent, they question almost everything, even in things that, and that's why even for when you try to talk about Qadr, a lot of times when they experience some of these tribulations they were talking about, the question then is, why me? And why does Allah allow suffering? Why does Allah allow these things to happen? So how does believing in Qadr help us make sense of hardship, injustice, or loss? And so that we are seeing them within a, you know, brother, you know, wisdom or horizon that, okay, everything is actually within Allah's plan. And not, it's not by accident. It's not an accident that such things happen.
Even that but accident that is Qadr.
So
if you say you have an accident on an issue, that accident is Qadr.
So let us play with some of these things that we consider suffering or that we consider, you know, as evil, so to say. That why should Allah allow these things? You know, someone will say, why me? Why should it be me?
Yeah, you, they will ask why.
So now the question then is, so how do we fix all these things? Understanding and having that faith and patience that everything is still within Allah's plan. So
you say, I've said something earlier. When you are a human being, you have to look for the five M's in one person, and you follow the person. Number one, you must look for a model, somebody you have to compare yourself to at any given time. That same person should be your mentor. So it means you must move closer to the person and see how he travels through the journey of life. That's the mentor. It's an M too. Then the third M quality is that person should be your monitor. Give your life to the person. Whenever I'm going that way, please guide me, because that is what you want from knowledge. Number four, that person should be your moderator. That one that will intercede for you in cases that are beyond your understanding. But when I'm saying knowledge and understanding, now in between knowledge and understanding, you say knowledge plus understanding will give you equal to what? Will give you wisdom. But before wisdom, after knowledge, after adding knowledge to understanding, there is something missing. That thing is called experience.
Who will be your teacher?
So something you have not practiced before, and you say you know it. How can you know it? So Allah will take you through these things that you call evil, which you have been saying every day, and you refuse to learn from it. You sleep every day. When you are sleeping and the person that is dead, what is the difference between both of you?
Allah Akbar.
You eat. When you eat, after digesting, you go to the toilet. That thing that is coming out of you from the toilet, why can't you re-eat it? That's not evil, Abi. That's good, Abi. Because you are doing what? You are detoxifying. You are detoxifying. Because it is to you. You are not looking for a good name. Is it good for anybody to do that major inside the room? So there are things in you that looks like evil, but they are good for you. So if something unseen now happens to you and you look at it as evil, it means you have not learned and gained experience from the physical things that are coming from you that you are now seeing as good for you, even when they are bad for others. So when something happens to you, don't look at what happened to you. Look at what you learn from it. The Yoruba people will say, "Tomode ba shibu."
I will watch you.
So when a child falls down, he will be looking for somebody to pick him. But when an adult falls down,
he looks back
at the back and see what fell me down. How should I stop this next time? So a lot of ulamas, clerics, both in Christendom and in Islam, they all know how to talk about problem. But no one is trying to provide solutions to individuals that you can solve it yourself even before you get to me. So how do you solve it yourself before you get to me? Seek the knowledge of what happened to you. You understand? Seek the understanding of why it happened to you. Don't attach it to anybody, because the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the enemy of predestination is someone that when anything happens to him, he will say it is because Lagbaja has done something. No, you are an enemy of yourself. So when something happens to you, don't attach it to anybody. See it as what is has to come to you, and make it a point to write it down, give it the solution you give it, put it as a lesson for others to come, then it gives them wisdom. That's why the prophet says, the successful one is one that learns from what has happened to the other person. So within the realms of existence, you must understand that happenings and occurrences are to leap you into the future, not to bring you back to the here. So we make mistakes of looking for today. Exactly, in anything that is not today, it's yesterday and yesterday to tomorrow. Because what you do yesterday, you are going to repeat tomorrow. So if you are not, if you are not exclusively looking for karma, will not be good. And if you are not looking for karma, will not understand destiny or predestiny.
All right. Now, I love the fact that you talked about, you know, having a mentor, someone to look up to, and someone who probably, you know, whose life is filled with examples. Now, and for us as believers, we know quite well that our mentor that Allah gives to us was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in his life, because we're talking about understanding Qadar now, are there examples from his life or the life of his companions that will probably make us understand or see the practical demonstrations of, you know, belief in this Qadar that we're talking about?
The Prophet said,
sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
because when we are celebrating Maulud, I think we should change the system now. The system is we'll gather ourselves together, we'll bring his wisdom and start teaching people. If we teach 10 this year, teach 10 next year, by the coming year, they have 30. The Prophet said,
Sallallahu,
let every Muslim take a heed from whatever befalls them, al musibah to be. Those are my trials and tribulations. So is the one that is most tried amongst humanity. So that's number one. Number two, the Prophet said,
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
Iyakum wa kasratu su'al, it is left to you to be wary of asking too much questions. Asking too much questions added to the perishing of those that came before you.
Their
destruction. They ask too much questions for their prophets. The prophets cannot give them what they want at the initial time they wanted, and it led them to destruction. Look at what happened in the time of Prophet Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. God said, go and slaughter a cow. Simple. But they kept asking questions until they now got to a cow that they have to slaughter. When they were given the description, they could not even help themselves to slaughter it. They have to take everything that they have in their village to be able to slaughter that cow. Allah now says, when a life was taken amongst you, for daratum fear, you are all confused and disturbed. Wallahu mukhrijun ma kuntum taktumun. And if you do not do what Allah has said you should do, you will not be able to find the cause of that death. So, if they had agreed initially, Allah said we should slaughter a cow, pick any cow, slaughter it, get off. But they continue asking questions.
What type of cow?
And at the end of the day, the person that they were asking questions will get to a point that he will not be able to answer again. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at what happened to Prophet Jesus. That Isa, alayhi salam. They said he should tell God, if he wanted them to believe in him, he should tell God to bring a table spread from the sky. From heaven. He should ask Allah to descend a table spread from the heaven. He now told Allah, go and tell them, if after I make that happen, anybody that goes against your injunctions will end in hellfire. He now said, whatever, go and bring it. He now spread his hand and said, Rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan minas samaa'. And he now disassociated himself from their kufur. He said, Tekunu lana idan. This is my own reason why I asked for Ito
feast.
Eden, a feast, a celebration. That should have been their celebration. But they never took charge of that day. They never took cognizance of when it happened. That would be their own Eid instead of the fake Eid. I'm not trying to
I understand.
Now, instead of the fake, that should be their Eid, because that was the feast that Prophet Isa celebrated. And they call it Onjale Olua. And everybody ate out of it, and the food did not finish. Then the table went back. And now, Isa now asks them of their faith, and they say they are still doubting. So when you ask too much questions, you are going to end up hitting yourself below the belt, and that is death. So that is it. So our younger generation, you see, is a generation that wants freedom, but they are adding two things together that are not compatible. independence and freedom.
Hmm.
So they are two different things. They want to have freedom without going to school.
Mm.
They want to have independence without struggle.
Mm.
It's not going to happen.
All right. That's how come along. We're going to show, we're going to return the program continues. Please stay with us.
You're all alone in this world, and there's nobody to count your tears. Just remember, no matter where you are, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you're carrying a monster load and you wonder how far you can go, with every step on that road that you take, Allah knows. Allah knows. No matter what inside or out, there's one thing of which there's no doubt, Allah knows. Allah knows. Special someone, feel your whole life has barely begun. You can walk on the moon, shout it to everyone. Allah knows, Allah knows. When you gaze with love in your eyes, catch a glimpse of paradise, and you see your child take the first breath of life. Allah knows.
Alright, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, powered by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC. We are discussing understanding Qadar, finding peace in Allah's plan, and our guest discussant is Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba, a Muslim cleric and imam at Adangba Central Mosque in Idimu, Alimosho, local government area of Lagos State. He's a married counselor, a public analyst on television and radio, publicity ambassador with Heavenly World Propagation of Light, headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. He's a teacher, father, husband, mentor, and many more. He's a founder of an Islamic institute at Idimu in Lagos State, where Quran and Islamic legislation is taught in its comprehensive form. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917-07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can call 09155-917-917-09155-917-917. Our toll-free line for the female callers is 0800-235-917, 0800-235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0815-5917-917. That is 0815-5917-917. This program is streaming live on Facebook via Everyday Muslim page. You can log in on Facebook to view the studio and also send in your comment on the live feeds on Facebook. You can also do that on YouTube via the Women Radio 91.7 page on YouTube. Yes, because the program is also streaming live on YouTube. So we'll be waiting for your calls and messages. So as we continue with the discuss. Now, Sheikh, so looking at the fact that some of those things we've listened, and you know, sometimes probably until something happens to us personally, a lot of times we might not really grasp some of those things we're talking about and probably having to adjust. So what practical steps can Muslims or believers generally take to strengthen their belief in Qadar, that is destiny, and stay spiritually grounded when you know, things don't go the way they plan them? Because you know, sometimes you have your plans in motion, you put your plans in motion, you try your efforts and things like that, but sometimes the result still, you know, doesn't go as you want. So what practical steps can we take to strengthen our belief in Qadar, so we don't start to second guess my creator is there, why did he allow this thing to happen to me? And I prayed, I've worked hard. You know, sometimes, you know, some of these things just happen and you begin to even question your faith too, that the God is there. Because I remember a situation, something happened to a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, when we went to secondary school together, and he wrote UTME for some time. This is someone that's very, very brilliant, one of the, you know, most brilliant students in our class then. And Then I say, Imam, just calm down, you know, have patience, you know, sober. Say, Allah understands. Say, and he said, is Allah not there when Jam keeps withholding my results? You know, something out of frustration, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look at, what practical steps can we take when some of these things happen?
Three practical steps.
Okay, sir.
Number one, myself, yourself, and every Muslim must be involved. In fact, if not every humanity, every human must be involved at our code.
Hmm.
Complete reliance on Allah.
Okay.
That's number one. So, what you have tried, I didn't get it, rely on Allah. Leave it to Him. If you struggle with steering with Allah on a very clear road, you're going to the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, always have a plan B.
Hmm.
Don't be too sure. Even your life that you are planning upon, you are not the owner.
Mm-hmm.
You borrowed it.
Yeah.
So you can say, okay, I want to do something next week. You won't even live to see it the next week. So always have a plan B. Always carry people along. Always make sure that you are not alone. And Allah has just done that to explain to us on our body parts. Tell me, my moderator, please.
Yes, sir.
Your eye. Your eyes, your own eye, are they for you?
Well, I consider myself as a trustee.
As a trustee, but really, your eyes is for me because you are using it to look at me. You can't use your eyes to look at yourself.
Myself. Okay.
The same thing with your hand. You okay? Shake me.
Yes, sir.
You are shaking me now. Okay, shake yourself. Shake yourself. It's not possible.
Okay.
So everything you have in your body is meant for somebody,
and
that's the next person to you.
Okay.
So you must always understand that whatever you think it's yours is not only yours, but for others.
Mm.
The more of you to give to others, the more of the reward that comes back to you.
Okay.
Number three, understand that since you are not the one that created yourself, what is time that you want to expend in doing things that you plan for yourself? You know you cannot plan without planning on time, but what is time? Can you tell me what time is? Time is nothing but Allah. It is infinitesimal. No beginning,
no end.
No end. So you can say, I go concern
1 p.m.
Allah has some things on Him that He has promised to do. He will feed every life a day. What to eat, what to drink. He will guide every life a day from everything. He will direct every life a day, but only when you ask Him. If you don't ask Him, don't expect it.
Okay.
So, He says, "Laula du'a ukum faqad kazzabtum." You must be praying to Him. You must be supplicating to Him. He told the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one hadith could see that, if you guys that are created on earth, do not come to me and beg me for what you want, I will wipe you all from the surface of the earth. Create those who will beg me, and I will give to them. He now said in another hadith, could say that if everybody on the surface of the earth, every one of you, park yourself at the beach, and everyone start asking me what he wants, and I grant everyone what he or she wants, it has not taken anything away from my honor, from my reserves. Like just you putting a needle in the ocean and taking it out. The small drop is on what I've just given to every one of you.
Allah Akbar. So he has more than enough.
Who is the supplier? Who is the supplier now? So you must understand that. Number one is tawakkul. Number two is you having plan B. And number three, it's you ready for trial. What I'm doing, I hope to have it the best way. But if it doesn't, let me take it the way it comes.
All right. Okay. Now, we have some people that often misunderstand Qadar as more like no need for us to actually even make any personal effort. So you have people that are fatalist and would always say, well, if Allah says it to happen, it will happen.
Yeah.
So for such people, so how can seeing Qadar as a framework and not really a finish line, empower believers to be proactive, to pursue good, to strive sincerely, and to grow through life's uncertainties, even when results are delayed or unclear? Because you see a lot of people, they will not even bother to go and work, and they say, tell them about paying low, in low. If Allah says I'll be rich, I'll be rich. So even if I don't work, so and for such people, they feel like that is only for me to make efforts. It's not my effort that actually would give me what I want. So why should I bother myself making the effort? So how do we clear this misconception?
No, you said, I've said it. That Islam has predecessors. Let's start from Muhammad
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So after Muhammad, we have Sayyidina Umar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is good for every one of you, or any one of you, to pick the hoes and cutlasses and go there inside the bush and fetch
firewood
and put it on his shoulder and come to the town to sell it, than for you to go a begging and for you to be indolent. You understand? So, Prophet Khalif Sayyidina Umar said, you now want something, and you now raise your hand to Allah. Oh Allah, give me something. He said, Asama wa latum tiru mataran, latum tiru zahaban. Heaven is not going to rain gold. You have to go and look for gold. You are the one that wants to spend gold now. So, work. I told you, human existence have three major phases. The beginning, the middle, which we call the passage, and the end. So, for anything, when there is life, there is
hope.
Yes. So you wake up, oh Allah, I woke up today. Ah, let me struggle. So you can be trying for years, and just one day, you will try, and everything will do boom, and you are at success. But you can be having it for longer time, and one day you just wake up,
everything is gone.
So you don't kill yourself. Just it is scattered. It is not the failure that matters. The real failure is when you don't stand up again to face it. So that is exactly what a Muslim should do. Talamani in low is not. That is laziness.
Okay.
That is even against Allah's injunctions.
Okay, all right. Because I want us probably expand, this a bit while we're still waiting for our callers. Well, the number to call, again, you can be a part of this discourse. You can call 07000-917-917. You can also send a message to 08155-917-917 SMS or WhatsApp to be a part of the discourse. And we are looking at destiny. What should be our understanding of destiny? I'm trying to look at this because I want to take a look at Nigeria and with a lot of things happening. There was this case of, flooding that happened in one northern state. And the governor just said, well, so that's the way Allah decrees it. Allah wants, all those that died, that was no way we could have stopped it. It's Allah's destiny. All that insecurity happened. Many people were killed. Well, that's the way Allah wants. Allah has already destined that those people will die. And like, does that mean as leaders, our leaders can be so, how will I put it? Will I say irresponsible to their duties for them not to know that, okay, if actually you don't have drainage channel for water to pass, then there will be flooding and people will lose their lives, they will lose their property and things like that. Or how responsible can we be that we will not provide security, we are not monitoring what is going on, we have so-called equipment and nobody's actually using it, and nobody's actually, nobody's being punished for, negligence of duty. And everything we just say, well, Allah, at least who are we to question Allah? It has happened. Allah has already destined it to happen. So how do we, consider some of these things now within the concept of Qadar, especially as leaders, and we will still maintain our responsibility towards the people and with the resources Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us?
I will take you back to the Quran. It says, "Inna Allaha ya'mur bil adli
wal ihsan
wa ita'i
dhil qurba."
What is it calling for? "Wa yanha 'anil fakhsha'i
wal munkar
wal munkari
wal baghi."
So Allah give you three good
injunctions
to follow and warn you from three bad vices to refrain from. Let's treat that.
Okay.
Towards what you have just said. Whatever will happen, no matter how much provision you
made.
But let me tell you one thing. When your father tells you, in the night, there is an hyena going around the village, don't go out, and you went out, what happens to you? The hyena beat you. What will happen? Is it what will happen? Because you are the one that turned deaf ears.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Allah says, I ordered. Allah ordered. You understand? He says, Allah ordered. Justice. Justice is you following the righteous path when you are asked to do. Well, ihsan, then kindness to others. But because what goes around
comes around.
Wa ita izil kurba, show your responsiveness in all responsibilities.
Imam, probably as you would still continue with that answer, we have this comment on social media. I think this is coming from Facebook. YouTube. Says, this is from Aziza Muhammad. Thank you very much for sending a comment. Says, in the light of Qadar, how do you approach grief, failure, or setbacks in a way that strengthens our iman instead of weakening it? Because sometimes some of these issues, like I asked, they tend to weaken our faith and our resolve in our Creator. But so how then do we approach Qadar in a way that would even strengthen our faith? Like probably even the people facing afflictions in Gaza or so, where there are tribulations. So how
do
we
their resilience?
Sincerely, I am marveled at with all the setbacks, with all the debts.
It's not a setback.
We are the one calling it a setback.
Yes, it's not a setback. Remember, you cannot sow a plant of success and achievement with water except with the sweat of people or the real blood of people. So justice will not come except some people are martyrs in that wise. Look at all the prophets. Look at what happened during their time, and look at what happened in Badr to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he did not raise his voice and said, "Oh Allah, if you do not help these people, nobody will worship you on the surface of the earth again," he wouldn't have helped them. But he showed them the Zakat wall in the Uhud. He showed them they were brutally massacred. Just to tell you that it's not free. Nothing from God is free. So the moment you have one, when you want to have iman, you should look at which type of iman do you want to have out of the four imans. There are four imans. Have you heard that before?
Not really.
No, there are four imans. The iman of the malaika, the angel, it never decreases.
Yeah.
Because liars own Allah, amara home.
Well, your family will
obey. They obey.
It's constant.
It's static.
Yes. Yeah.
So the iman of the prophets and messengers
always rising.
It's always rising. It will never come down, no matter how much the affliction.
The
third iman is the iman of you and me. Fluctuation. The graph is us. That's like this. So, and the fourth one is the iman of the satanic people.
It's going down.
It's always going down. So, in that wise, when you have an affliction, I've said it earlier, do not look back. Check. Why is Allah doing it? And convince yourself, without being confused, that Allah designs this at the end of all trials. So it says, Kulla yusiba, then I've told you earlier, that is Quran chapter 9, verse 51. Illa ma kataba Allah, because you have trust in Him. And wallahi, have you not seen it so many times that Allah has given what you think it is not givable? He will give it to somebody. So, to strengthen your iman after an occurrence lies in you not dying with that occurrence. If you are not wiped away with that occurrence, Allah wants to use you as an example for others to learn from. Fight it, win it. Write it down, let others read from it.
Okay.
But we are not prepared. I've said it earlier. We are not prepared. Not much people are prepared, or not many people are prepared to face it when it comes. They easily lose it and look for somebody to hang it upon their necks. That hey, this is the person that caused this thing. Why, if you had not done this, this would not have happened. That is, you are not a Muslim. So, weakening your iman will only happen to you when you are not a good person. If you are not good, your iman will never rise, will never increase. Why? Because the moment you have cheated somebody, the moment you have made somebody cry, the moment you have destroyed somebody's actions, when you want to go to somebody, what comes in your conscience? What you have given is what you are going to do. So, the Quran says the hikmah, the wisdom, and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught through Ali, he says, "Jud bima tajid, give what you have." So, don't do anything comparing yourself with others. You are to be compared to two. And don't give what you don't have. Don't want don't make a show off. Allah does not like show offs. Do whatever you can do, and when people know you with it, they know what to approach you for. And when something happens to you, they say, oh, we always get water from his compound. Now he doesn't have water. Everybody will now bring water. It's just, the example is just very small. Let me give you the example. You are a brother to other two of your siblings. We are younger. You went to meet a woman to greet her, and she gave you two loaves of bread. You now say, oh, we are going to divide it. How will you divide it without being biased? There's no way. So as the elder, you now take it upon yourself that, okay, let me sacrifice. Now you now give one to the younger brother one, and give one to the younger brother two. And the younger brother one said, Egbonmi, you're not going to get out of it. Okay, let me give you half of my own. He gave you half willingly. The other said, since my Egbon has given you half, let me give you half. He gave you another half. How many did you eat?
You eventually
ate a loaf of bread, sharing half for two, but it is out of will, out of desire, out of want, out of joy and love. This is what we do in Ramadan. This is how Ramadan is so peaceful and brings peace to everybody, because the act of sharing willingly is imbibed in it.
All right.
So that is how we go about it.
So on a final note now, as we round off the program, now, how does Qadar help us reduce stress, improve our relationships, and shape our ambitions with sincerity and deepen our sense of gratitude, resilience, and contentment, so that at least, well, I don't want to, you know, over aspire for something that is probably beyond my reach, or even I probably get, you know, bad or feel bad when probably I actually, you know, didn't achieve something, and, you know, an aim or something that I actually thought probably should have been mine, or I should have caught, or something like that. So how, in all those, to round off, so how do we apply Qadar, you know, to
my brother? Very easy. You just have to know the hierarchy of joy. Do you want joy?
Absolutely.
So when you have joy, you are less stressed.
Yes.
When you have joy, you have peace. But it has a hierarchy. The first one, the first level is contentment. Whatever you see, let it be okay with you. Oh, is this what I can have from this? Don't fight anybody. Make use of it judiciously. And after that, you have to move from the level of contentment to satisfaction.
Okay.
You can see that when you are content, let it live in you that I'm satisfied. Don't have a rethink. Am I not stupid for taking this? No, don't do that. So from contentment, you grow to satisfaction. And when you have those two, you have fulfillment. And tell me, if you say you are not going to be fulfilled with what you have, you are not going to be fulfilled with it, tell me what you are going to take along with you when you eventually die. So contentment to satisfaction and fulfillment will give you the joy in Qadar and save you from stress and give you that eternal internal peace that you want. May Allah make it easy for us.
Allahumma ameen. And to all our listeners, we'd like to appreciate all of you. We'd like to appreciate Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba for the insight that he's been able to share on the program today. Thank you for coming, sir, and for, you know, helping us have a better grasp of, you know, what destiny is and how we can truly live our lives, you know, free of stress, accepting our situation and be showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also like to appreciate all our listeners. We do this because we know you're there and we know that you are listening to us. Jazakum Allah khairan. And to those who sent in messages, we also like to appreciate you. You can listen again to this episode of and other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. mpac-ng.org. Scroll down. MPAC is mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media: Facebook Everyday Muslim, Instagram Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, Saturday, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam.